I want to take a moment and thank you for watching these videos. We've heard from many, many people and some very encouraging comments. We've heard from people from our own church across the United States and also from the world. We've heard from people from Africa, Australia, and Uganda who are following this prophetic series. Now, in our previous study, we established that the world events that we are presently seeking are the kind of world events that we would expect to see before the rapture of the church. We're not specifically looking for signs. We're looking for the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ to come back and take his body and bride out of this world to meet him in the air. But Jesus said we ought to be able to observe the times and seasons. And when we analyze the early part of the tribulation and what is going to take place there, we certainly conclude that clouds are forming that would seem to indicate we are near the rapture. We are seeing the early stages of government telling people what they can do and where they can go. We are certainly seeing an intensification of lawlessness. We are seeing an apostasy that is not only moving away from God and his word, it completely rejects it. Certainly, we're seeing a lot of movement in China, which is clearly predicted to occur in the tribulation. And of course, this pandemic sickness that we're experiencing right now with the coronavirus, these are all indicators that something unusual is happening in the sovereign program of God. Now, when God gave Daniel a vision of Gentile powers that would dominate the world until Jesus Christ would finally come back and reign over the world, he spotted one beast that really stood out. He first spotted this beast, and when he spotted it, he used the pronoun it. But as he kept looking at the beast, he changed the pronoun from it to he. When Daniel saw this beast, he saw a man who really captured his attention. And Daniel makes it clear, I kept looking at this one man. In fact, he stresses that multiple times. I kept looking. He wanted to know who that one was because he had never seen anyone quite like him. The man was so dreadful that Daniel says it drained the color right out of his face. And Daniel was not a man easily intimidated. I mean, he was a guy who was willing to actually go into a lion's den rather than to stop worshiping God. So if there's a person that shakes Daniel to the point that the color is drained out of his face, then he must be someone very scary and very satanic. If this man shook Daniel when he saw him, he certainly is going to shake the world when the world sees him. And this person that Daniel saw is best known by the title the Antichrist. Now, the Antichrist is a satanic man who will surface at some point in history. We think that we could be near this happening. He will surface shortly after the rapture of the church. He will surface 7 years before the second coming of Jesus Christ. If our observations are accurate, somewhere out there right now in the European world is a young, up-and-coming, developing man who actually is the Antichrist. At this point in time, he probably doesn't realize he is the Antichrist. Right now, from my understanding of Scripture, he would be a behind-scenes person. He could be a young military guy, probably comes from a good home. He probably has a background where they even talk about God. He's not dressed in black clothing. He's not walking around wearing pentagrams or lighting candles and saying weird cantations. Now, there are many allusions to this man, very many descriptions of this man in various books of the Bible. However, there are four books of the Bible where we get quite a bit of data about him. This satanic person is mentioned and discussed and described in two books from the Old Testament, Isaiah and Daniel. And he is also mentioned, described, and discussed in two books of the New Testament, 2 Thessalonians and Revelation. There are things that are stated and predicted about him in these four books of the Bible that are not stated or found concerning anyone else who's ever lived in history. There has never been a person like him or comparable to him. He will be permitted by God to rise up on the world stage, and he will become the most evil dictator who has ever existed. He will be worse than Caligula, Nero, Domitian, Mussolini, Hitler, and Stalin combined. And what we would like to do in this study today is give you, as best as we can, an accurate biblical prophetic picture of him as we see him in the scriptures. The information that we're presenting to you is found in the Bible, and it's given to God's people, which means God wants his own people to understand this. God wants his own people to see this man and identify this individual for who and what he is. The interesting thing is God's people will not be here to actually see him. But just as Daniel got to see him through the revealed word of God before he left the world, just as Isaiah got to see him in the revealed word of God before he left the world, just as the apostles Paul and John got to see him before they left the world, we too, looking into the scriptures, get to see him before we leave the world. And one question I would ask is, why would God want his people to actually be able to see this before they leave the world? Well, one reason certainly would be he wants us to communicate this to the world, that there is this one who is coming in world history who will be the Antichrist. Now, what I would like to do for you today is handle this in a systematic question-answer form. I'd like to ask and answer four questions that hopefully will give us an accurate perspective of the Antichrist. Now, the first question is, what does the word Antichrist mean? The title that has really captured the imagination and the attention of almost everyone in the world is that title, Antichrist. But the truth is, he's identified in the Bible by no less than 10 titles, none of which are good. He is, for example, called the abomination of desolation. Daniel calls him the one who makes desolate. That is a reference to the fact that he is going to destroy. He's going to sit in the temple and demand to be worshipped as God. He's called the false Christ. Jesus called him and those like him pseudo-Christ. He's called the one who comes in his own name. John 5:43 would indicate that he will always be interested in himself. He will be a proud individual, a satanic individual. He will not be interested in glorifying God at all or ever. He's only interested in glorifying himself. He's called the man of sin, which would indicate he will be one who aggressively pursues sin. He'll have no convictions about the fact that he's sinning at all. He is called the son of destruction. What that means is his whole existence will be given to destroying people. He will destroy people physically, he will destroy them spiritually, and also try to point them to eternal destruction. He's called the lawless one, not constrained by any law, as we will see anywhere in the world. He is also identified as being a liar. He will be the most convincing political religious liar to ever live. And there have been a lot of convincing liars in the political religious world. He will be the best of the best. He's called a deceiver. In fact, the goal of Satan is to deceive the entire world, and this will be his key master leader who will be out to do that. He's called a beast, a ruthless, ferocious, vicious beast. And then, of course, he's called the Antichrist. Now, the noun Antichrist is a specific word that was used by the Apostle John, who was the last living apostle, and John used it in four passages. He used it in 1 John 2:18, 1 John 2:22, 1 John 4:3, and 2 John 7. And the most critical passage to this is the one that John writes in 1 John 4:3, which says, "And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that is coming, and now it is already in the world." So what John says is there is a spirit of Antichrist at work now that moves people away from the truth of God pertaining to Jesus Christ, but there's a spirit coming after the church is gone, And this spirit will ultimately be manifested in that man Daniel saw, and that will be the Antichrist. Now, the title Antichrist is a compound Greek noun comprised of two words, the preposition anti and the noun Christ or Christos. Now, the preposition anti means a couple of things. If you're anti-something, it means to be against something or in opposition to something, which is exactly what it means. But it also can be used to mean to take the place of something as a substitute for something. And the noun Christ, Christos, is that which refers to Jesus Christ being the Messiah of Israel. So if you combine those two words together in composition, the Antichrist is a person who's going to show up on earth. He will be totally and completely against Jesus Christ. He's going to try to convince the world he is taking the place of Jesus Christ. He will be in total opposition to Jesus Christ. He will be a counterfeit of him. He's not the Messiah, but he's going to present himself as being the Messiah. Now, this word was used in the early church to refer to teaching that was not true about Jesus Christ. And it was also used in early church history to refer to a specific person who would surface in the future. For example, Polycarp, the bishop of Smyrna in the second century, said anyone who preaches false doctrine is an antichrist. And Hippolytus of Rome, the second century theologian, said the antichrist would come and rebuild the Jewish temple on the Temple Mount, and then he would reign from it. Now, the Antichrist will specifically present himself as Israel's hope. And many Jewish people are going to fall for his deception. Jesus alluded to this Antichrist when he said, "I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him." This concept of the Antichrist has always existed in Jewish instruction. They've always been looking for the Antichrist. Jewish teaching predicts that there will be a last days opponent of Israel and a last days opponent of the Messiah. Jewish people actually expect that there will be an Antichrist who will surface. David Flusser, who is professor of Hebrew University, says the idea of Antichrist is strictly Jewish and pre-Christian. I don't necessarily quite agree with that because Paul and John were both Christians and they write quite extensively about him. Michael Stone, an Israeli expert on prophetic literature, said the background to this figure, Antichrist, lies in Jewish eschatology. So both the Bible and Jewish literature predict there's coming one who will be identified as the Antichrist. Now the second question is, when will the Antichrist be revealed? The Antichrist will first surface shortly after the rapture of the church as the tribulation begins. Both the Old Testament and the New Testament make that point very clear. Paul predicts that the Antichrist will not surface until the church age is over. He says once the church has been raptured, the Antichrist is going to be revealed. He says there's a restraining ministry right now that exists, which is caused by the Holy Spirit, and once that is taken out of the way, here's what Paul says, then that lawless one will be revealed. So the church is going to be gone or raptured before the Antichrist is actually going to show up publicly. Daniel predicts that at the beginning of the tribulation, which is a 7-year period of time, the Antichrist beast is going to actually make a peace covenant with Israel. And he's probably going to permit her to rebuild her temple and to begin temple worship. He initially will surface at the beginning of the tribulation, appearing to be Israel's friend. He will turn out to be her worst satanic nightmare, who, according to Zechariah in the 13th chapter, will end up killing 2/3 of the Jews. So the Antichrist is going to surface shortly after the rapture at the beginning of the 7-year period known as the tribulation. Now the third question is, how will people be able to spot him? How will people be able to spot the Antichrist? According to Daniel and Revelation, the Antichrist is going to initially surface as a young, smooth political leader among 10 European nations. He will surface at a simultaneous time when 10 European nations have united together militarily and economically. Now, right now, there are 28 nations from the European Union. At some point, 10 of those nations are going to really link themselves together. They're going to form a unique solidarity, and that will be the moment the Antichrist is going to surface. Now, in Nebuchadnezzar's dream, he said that will occur in the days of those kings. And he was talking about those 10 kings that were symbolized by the 10 toes. They not only will signal the Antichrist is going to surface in those days, but that also signals to us that that will bring an end to him ultimately when Jesus Christ comes back to destroy him. Now, when Jesus Christ was here the first time, there was no European Union, but there is now. NATO was formed in 1949 in Washington, D.C., and the European Union was formed in 1993. At some point, what the world may expect to see is 10 of those European nations, which are comprised of 28 nations right now, 10 of those 28 nations are going to unite, and in that environment, it will be the Antichrist who's going to surface. Now, three times in the book of Daniel, Daniel stresses that the Antichrist is going to come to power, come into the limelight by taking over three smaller nations. This will be a very important way that people will be able to spot him. He starts out as a small political player, but he ends up taking control of three nations. He starts out by becoming a dictator over three nations. Then he will eventually become a dictator over 10 political European powers, and then he will ultimately become dictator of the world. Now, John, the apostle, in the book of Revelation says he will have total and complete dominant power over 10 kings. In fact, 10 major world leaders will willingly turn their power over to him, and he will control them. When he first surfaces, he will appear to be a great friend of Israel. Much of Israel is going to be duped by this guy. In fact, Jesus made the point to say that he will come in glory out of the sky. In fact, he makes that point and stresses that point. If you hear somebody here on earth saying that the Messiah is on earth or the Savior's on earth, don't believe him, because Christ says, when I come next time, I'll come out of heaven and every eye will see me. So don't buy into the fact that somebody on earth is in fact the Messiah or the God, Savior, Messiah, King. Now that brings us to the fourth question. What will the Antichrist be like? We'd like to go through the scriptures for you and point out 17 characteristics that describe what this Antichrist is going to be like. First of all, he's going to look like a normal man. Daniel specifically stresses he possessed eyes like the eyes of a man. He has eyes like a normal looking man. There will be nothing that will appear to be physiological about him that will indicate he is Satan's man. He's going to look like a normal man. He will surface like a normal man. He'll walk and talk like a normal man. He certainly is not going to come in some miraculous spaceship out of the sky, nor is he going to come up out of the fire pits of hell. He will be a sharp young man. He won't be the kind of guy who's covered with a bunch of tattoos, wearing earrings or nose rings. He's going to look like a sharp businessman, a good political leader, good military man. Now, the fact that Daniel stresses that he will have eyes like the eyes of men means a couple of things. First, as we just pointed out, it means that he will look like a normal human being. But second, his goal will be to spy on everyone. He will want to spy on every person in the world. He'll want to know what they're doing. He'll want to see what they're up to. He'll want to control the world. There are things going on right now with computers and chips that are being developed and used that will actually help him spy on everyone in the world. Now, Daniel says when he surfaces, he will elevate himself initially in his own heart. He will elevate himself initially in his own heart. He will not come on the scene and say, "Hi, I'm the Antichrist, and I want you to worship me or I'm going to kill you." That's not the way he will surface. He will surface as a guy who has this going on inside him, but people won't be able to see it. They will not be able to look at him and actually say, well, that guy wants us to worship him, because he's going to come on the scene just like a normal, successful man. Now, the second characteristic is he will have the ethnicity of being a Gentile. Some have speculated that he would be Jewish, but the scriptures do not support that idea. Both Daniel and John in Revelation make the specific point that the Antichrist is non-Jewish. They both identify very specifically that this beast comes out of the sea, and that's metaphorical language to refer to the fact that this Antichrist is not a Jew, he's a Gentile. He will come out of the sea of Gentile nations. In the Bible, the people of the land are, of course, Israel and the Jews. The people of the seas are the Gentiles. And David Levy of the Friends of Israel said he will come from the sea of Gentile humanity. Now, Hippolytus, the second century theologian out of Rome, said he thought the Antichrist would come from the tribe of Dan, but that's not possible because the Antichrist is going to be a Gentile. It is possible that the false prophet who will work with the Antichrist has some Jewish blood in him, but not the Antichrist. The Antichrist is going to be a European, Gentile, non-Jewish. Now, the third characteristic that is stated about him and brought out in multiple passages is that he will have the character of a ferocious beast. Daniel refers to him specifically as this beast, this chi, that's Hebrew for beast, seven times. John in Revelation, Therion is the noun for wild beast. John refers to him as that some 33 times in the book of Revelation. This Antichrist will be a wild beast. This Antichrist will be the most brutal, uncontrollable, diabolical beast to ever exist. He will be vicious, he will be untamable and ferocious. He'll be a monster. Both Daniel and John point to the fact that he will be a terrifying, dreadful, strong beast. In fact, John connects him to being the same beast that Daniel spotted. When Daniel said he was like a leopard, bear, and lion, John puts them all together. He said the Antichrist will be a compilation of all the evil, beastly powers who've ever existed. He will be the most dreadful human beast of all. John in Revelation says that he will be the worst beastly person to ever exist on the face of this earth. There will never be another person like him. He has, metaphorically speaking, iron teeth. He rules with an iron fist. He chews up people. He spits out people. He stamps out people. He kills for fun. He kills for fun because it makes him happy. Now, every now and then, we hear of serial killers who are monsters. And when you just mention their names, it kind of makes your skin crawl. Ted Bundy, David Berkowitz, John Wayne Gacy, Jeffrey Dahmer. I mean, those are evil monsters. This Antichrist will be a worldwide serial killer. He'll be worse than all of those combined. He'll be proud of killing people. And literally, no one but God will be able to stop him. He will be a ferocious beast. He will be a ferocious monster. And of course, one question that we certainly would ask is, why would God let a guy like that come into existence? Why would God let a person like that come into power? Because this world does not want God. This world does not want God and his word to govern them. This world wants never to be right with God. It's a God-mocking world. It rejects God. It rejects his will. People love evil more than God. That's obvious. They call good bad and bad good. Everything is turned upside down in this world. And God says, all right, you so love evil, I will permit this evil monster to come into existence and rule the world, because you don't want me to rule you. Which brings us to the fourth characteristic. He will have a mouth that makes arrogant boasts. This will be his primary trait. He's going to be a loudmouth, big-mouth braggart. Daniel said his mouth will utter great boasts. This will be his habitual pattern of speech. He will speak out against the Most High God. He will dare to blaspheme God. He'll dare to make mockery of the Word of God. He'll boast about himself. He'll brag about Satan. In fact, at some point, he'll promote Satan worship, and he will promote self-worship. And God is going to permit him to exist for 3.5 years. The Apostle Paul said he will exalt himself above every so-called god or object of worship. He will actually sit in the temple of God in Jerusalem, and he will say that he is God and demand that people worship him. Now, every now and then, some evil religious heretic like Charlie Manson or Jim Jones or David Koresh or Sun Myung Moon surfaces who claims to be deity. And they surface now and then and they want people to worship them. And most people in the world can see through that. Most people of the world look at them and realize they are just evil out of their minds. They don't fall for that. At least most people don't. Well, this will be different with the Antichrist, because he will be very effective. He will be worshipped, according to the scriptures, by all unbelievers of the world. Think of that. Think of that. All people of the world will worship this satanic man. And if you refuse to worship him when he's here, he'll kill you. There will never be another like him who will ever come into existence. This Antichrist will be a beast, and he will boast. The fifth characteristic about him is he will have an incredible mind with tremendous intelligence capable of solving difficult problems no one else can solve. Daniel makes an interesting statement about him. In Daniel chapter 8 and verse 23, Daniel says he'll be skilled in intrigue. Now, what those words actually mean in Hebrew is that he will have a very high IQ. One student of prophecy said the Antichrist will be a genius. Intriguing problems that plague other people, he'll be able to solve. One of the most amazing problems that he will be able to solve is he'll somehow figure out a way that will permit Israel to build her temple on an area that's right now controlled by Arabs. In fact, it is significant to see in Revelation 17 that the Antichrist does seem to have a close affiliation with the Babylonian harlot, which includes the religion of Islam. Somehow, this Antichrist is going to be so shrewd and smart that he'll be able to negotiate a deal that will permit Israel to put up her temple on the very spot where the Dome of the Rock sits right now. It'll take a genius to be able to do that. One commentator observed the Antichrist will be a genius in all kinds of areas. He'll be a genius in intellect. He'll be a genius in commerce and trade. He will be a genius in war. He will be a genius in speech and in politics. He will have an incredible mind with a very high IQ and aptitude. The sixth characteristic about the Antichrist is he will be a person who loves war. Daniel says in Daniel chapter 8 that he will honor the God of fortresses. The Antichrist will actually be a person who worships war. He'll love war. He will be a military genius. Now, most people in their right minds hate fighting and they hate war. Satanic people love it. The Antichrist will love it. He loves war. He loves killing. He loves death. Daniel predicts that he will be unusually destructive and that he will destroy things at a very unusual level. He will be an insolent person, which means he will be a fierce person. He loves fighting. He loves war. According to the prophet Isaiah, he will conquer the world. He will overthrow cities and he will take many prisoners. He'll even kill his own national people. He loves to kill. He'll kill the very people who helped him get his power. He'll wage war with God's people. He'll hate anything connected to God and he'll overpower them. There will be some shortly after the rapture who will believe in the Lord and he'll stamp them out. According to Daniel, he so worships war that he'll go up against the strongest military forces in the world. And to him, the bigger the better. And here's how much this guy loves war. According to Revelation chapter 19, when he learns that they're getting near the point where Jesus Christ is going to return out of heaven to fight, he will actually gather, according to Revelation 19, all the armies that he can muster to go to a battle called Armageddon, in Hebrew, Armageddon. He will take them to that very spot to fight against Jesus Christ. That's how much he loves war. He's an arrogant monster. He will give great honor and power to those who fight for him and win. He will divvy up various parts of the world for them to rule over because they fought for him and won. He will conquer the world faster and greater than any other military leader who's ever existed. Now, one of the greatest military geniuses in history was Alexander the Great. With lightning speed, he conquered the known world at that time. In 13 years, he was able to conquer 2 million square miles that included Greece, the Middle East, Central Asia, all the way into India. It is said when he completed conquering the world as he knew it, he actually wept because there were no more worlds for him to conquer. The Antichrist won't have that problem, because his goal will be to conquer the whole world on the face of this earth. There are almost 200 million square miles in this world, comprised of 7 continents, and the Antichrist is going to go after every one of them in less than 7 years. He loves war. He worships war. That's the character of the Antichrist. The 7th characteristic is he will be the law of the world for 3.5 years. This point is brought out in multiple passages of Scripture in Daniel and Revelation. The Antichrist is going to dominate the world for 1,260 days, 42 months, 3.5 years. Isaiah says he will make the earth tremble. He will shake world kingdoms. He literally will conquer the world. He won't allow prisoners to ever go home. Daniel says he will do what he pleases. He will do what he pleases all over the world. He will redivide the world, redistribute the world, restructure the world and its political boundaries. Now, one thing that is fascinating when you read biblical prophecy out of Daniel or Revelation is political leaders are referred to as kings. You can't help but notice that. And the reason for that is going to be the political climate that will exist during the days of the Antichrist. It will be a dictatorial climate. It will be a worldwide dictatorial monarchy. Dictators are going to rule the world. And there has never been a political dictator who's dominated every place in the world, but the Antichrist is going to do it. He will have dictatorial authority over every tribe and people and tongue and language, according to the Apostle John in the book of Revelation. And God is the one who is actually permitting him to do this, but he's time regulating it. He will let him do this for 42 months, and then he'll put a stop to him. An 8th characteristic is he will be a very skilled liar who is able to deceive the whole world. Now, God is a God who cannot lie. Satan is an angel who does nothing but lie. In fact, Jesus called him the father of lies. Now, most people who end up in the political world learn to be good liars. They're good at double talk. They don't look you in the eyes and give you an honest answer. Well, Satan's masterpiece, the Antichrist, is going to be a master liar, the best political liar to ever live. Daniel says that the Antichrist will succeed by deceit. He actually deceives people. He makes up lies and stories, and he gets people to follow him and believe in him. And the Apostle Paul said that these signs the Antichrist will perform, and here's what he says, and I quote him, all the deception of wickedness for those who perish. So he will do deceptive things just to dupe people, to get them to follow him. The Antichrist will be able to look into a camera, lie to the world, and the whole world is basically going to believe him. No polygraph test will be able to detect he's a liar. He won't do things that normal people do when they lie. They look away, they repeat things, they change their voice, they look to the right or left, their pupils dilate, their breathing increases. It won't faze him in the least. Down where we go in Florida, there is a yacht tour that you can take on the Intracoastal. And one of the places that is pointed out is a channel that leads to the place where Bernie Madoff used to live. Now, Bernie Madoff has been called the Wizard of Lies. Bernie Madoff is the guy who was sentenced to 150 years in prison for lying and stealing and fraud. He was a polished liar. He was able to lie to people and commit security fraud, mail fraud, money laundering fraud, investment fraud, employee fraud. He was an amazing liar. He's nothing compared to what this Antichrist will be. Bernie Madoff was discovered, and he got sentenced to jail. The Antichrist will not be discovered. He'll deceive the whole world. And may I pause for a moment to tell you this. The greatest lie that has ever been told in the world is the lie that you can save yourself by your works. The greatest lie that's been propagated all over the world is you can save yourself and go to heaven by trying to keep the law, by your church membership, by your giving, by your attempts to keep the Old Testament law, by your rituals. That's the greatest lie that's ever been propagated, because the truth is only Jesus Christ can save us from our sins. And the greatest lie in the world right now, the spirit of Antichrist, is teaching people that somehow you can be as good as God and expect to go to heaven by your own works. The Bible says you cannot go to heaven by your own works, only by believing in Jesus Christ. The Antichrist will be a good liar. The ninth characteristic about the Antichrist is he will oppose God. He will oppose Jesus, who is God. Everything about him will oppose God and his word. He will be the diabolical opposite of what God's word says or wants. As Daniel says in Daniel chapter 8, he will oppose the prince of princes. He will be anti-Jesus Christ, anti-God, anti-Bible. He will elevate himself, and ultimately he's going to lose. But you do get a glimpse here as to what the spirit of Antichrist does. The spirit of Antichrist opposes the word of God. And we're living in a nation right now that opposes the word of God. We are in the state of Michigan. And in this state of Michigan right now, we have leadership that's saying it's so concerned for the people getting the coronavirus that they don't dare open up and go back to work. And at the same time, they will allow you to go to a clinic and abort a baby. That is just hypocrisy. They will destroy life because they don't care what the word of God says. We have a society that promotes same-sex relationships that the word of God says are an abomination to him. Most people scoff at the word of God today. So there is a spirit of Antichrist that's at work today. But the fact of the matter is, during the tribulation period, when this Antichrist is actually here in person, he will oppose God, he will oppose the word of God, he will oppose Jesus Christ and everything connected to God. Which brings us to the 10th characteristic. He will not be destroyed by any human means. Now, in Revelation chapter 13, there is an interesting text of scripture that would seem to suggest there could be some type of assassination attempt to kill the Antichrist. He apparently is going to suffer what appears to be a mortal wound in one of those military campaigns, but he's going to be brought back to life and the whole world is going to stand in awe of him. This is going to be some major satanic moment in the history of the world. And when this one who seemed to suffer a mortal wound all of a sudden rises back up like it was nothing but a mosquito bite, the whole world is going to realize, well, you can't destroy this guy. No special ops military force will be able to kill him like Osama bin Laden did. Daniel, Isaiah, and John in Revelation make it clear that no human can destroy him, only God can destroy him. Daniel says he will be broken without human agency. Daniel says, I kept looking until the beast was slain and its body was destroyed and given to burning fire. Isaiah said the Antichrist will not be buried in a tomb. John says in Revelation, the beast was thrown alive into the lake of fire that burns with brimstone. The Antichrist will eventually be judged, and the Antichrist will eventually be cast into the lake of fire by God himself. No one on this earth will be able to kill the Antichrist. Jesus Christ himself will return, and he will be the one who will throw him into hell. Now, the 11th characteristic is he will have satanic power. The Antichrist will have satanic power, not normal human power. the Antichrist is going to get his power directly from Satan. Paul says everything about him will be satanic, and he will have the ability to perform miracles with all satanic power and signs and false wonders. Now, there are people who claim that they can do the miraculous. That doesn't prove anything, because the miraculous things can be done by Satan. When Jesus was here, he specifically said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven." In fact, Jesus said this, "Many, many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name we cast out demons, and in your name we perform many miracles.' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Miracles prove nothing. The Antichrist will be able to perform miracles, and he will get his power from Satan to do it. He will be the highest satanic kingly royalty of any political leader who's ever existed in history. And according to Revelation 13:1, he not only controls 10 kings, but on his head are 10 diadems. Those are crowns of royalty in Greek. In other words, the Antichrist will have a complete worldwide royalty above all other world leaders who have ever existed. He will be viewed as king of the world. He will have dominant global power. He will be esteemed and worshipped wherever he goes. And Satan himself will actually take up residency in this man. Satan himself will actually possess him. This will be the ultimate satanic man. And the finest satanic person who's ever walked on this earth, he'll look smart, he'll be successful, he'll be political, he'll be respectable. He will be dominated by the power of Satan. The 12th characteristic is he will be unusually prosperous. The Antichrist is going to prosper in every way. He obviously is going to prosper in land deals because he negotiates some deal for Israel to rebuild the temple. He'll be prosperous in trade deals and money deals. In fact, it's specifically brought out that he'll gain control of the gold and silver and precious things that come out of Egypt, Libya, and Ethiopia. He's going to be able to make amazing monetary deals with the Arab world. And as Daniel said, he will prosper at an unusual level. He'll probably use his prosperity as a way to dupe the world into thinking that if you have a lot of money, that means you're worth following. In fact, that's the way this world does operate. It tends to gravitate to people who have a lot of money and they think they're worth listening to, they're worth following, when in fact they may be nothing more than what God says are fools. For example, take a guy like George Soros. George Soros has over $8 billion, and people think, boy, there's someone we really want to get near. There's someone really worth following. He mocks the Bible. He's an atheist. He denies God, and the Bible calls him a fool. And yet most people in the world think this is a guy we ought to listen to. Well, the Antichrist will be just like that, only he'll be a lot better looking than George Soros, who frankly has some real problems with his face. The 13th characteristic is he will do what he pleases all over the world. Now, I want you just to think of this statement that Daniel makes. He will do as he pleases. Do as he pleases. John in Revelation says he will have authority over every nation in the world. What this means is he'll do what he wants, when he wants, where he wants. He will have absolutely no restraints on him in any way or any place. He will say anything he wants. He will take anything he wants from anyone he wants to take it from. He will kill anyone he wants to kill. He'll destroy anyone he wants to destroy. He will have literally absolute power over the whole world. And he will never use his power in a God-honoring way. He'll use it to destroy others. Now the 14th characteristic is he will show no regard for anyone but himself. Daniel says this. An interesting verse in Daniel 11:37. He will show no regard for the gods of his fathers or for the desire of women, nor will he show regard for any god, for he will magnify himself above them all. The Antichrist will have one god, and that would be himself. He will worship himself. The Antichrist will have no regard for religious heritage, probably raised to respect religion, but he'll be his own religion. The Antichrist will have no regard for women. Now that can mean multiple things. Jesus said when this abomination of desolation occurs, when the Antichrist is sitting in the temple of Jerusalem demanding to be worshipped as God, that they needed to get out of there. And he specifically brought out the fact, pray that you are not a woman who happens to be pregnant at that time, because that would slow your time down in getting out of that area. So it could mean he'll just kill women even if they're pregnant. It may mean he's a rapist, a murderer. Perhaps he is a homosexual. I don't know. We have many women who right now, oddly enough, are working their way into government positions, and this would indicate he'll kill them at a drop of a hat. He will not respect any woman, any place, or anywhere. He will have no regard for women. He'll just destroy them. The Antichrist will have such a high regard for himself that he will demand that he be worshipped as God. And if people refuse to worship him as God, he will kill them. The 15th characteristic is he will go to war with many Arab nations and he'll take their treasures. He not only will convince Israel he's her friend, somehow, he's going to convince the Arab world that he's their friend. But he actually, in the end, is going to steal from the Arabs and loot their wealth. Many Arab nations will not like the fact that he took the treasures of their land, and he's going to do that. And rumors from the east and from the north are going to bother him, which is probably movement coming from Russia and China. And that is going to be a time when some of those Arabs are going to turn against him. Now, we specifically are given in the book of Daniel the names of three nations that are going to turn against this Antichrist: the Egyptians, the Libyans, and the Ethiopians. Egypt and Libya are Arab nations. Ethiopia is a nation comprised of Arab and Jews. And because of the fact that he somehow stole things from the Arab world, they're going to turn on him. Which brings us to the 16th characteristic. He will come to the end of his days in the land of Israel. The rumors that he hears of people beginning to move against him is going to cause him to relocate to the land of Israel. He will move into Israel's territory. He's going to hear of military movement that's coming right toward Armageddon. This movement starts with Russia and China. And he will think, I'll have a better leverage if I can gather my military to a more strategic place. So he's going to actually relocate his European headquarters to Israel, and that is where he's going to be executed. That will be the place where Jesus Christ literally comes back in the sky and throws him, body and all, into hell. Now, the 17th characteristic is he will have his own special worldwide mark and special number. Now, what's interesting, when we carefully study the scriptures, is God does not give us his name, but he does give us his number. And here's what we read in Revelation 13, 16 to 18. And he causes all, the small and the great, and the rich and the poor, and the free men and the slaves, to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And he provides that no one will be able to buy or sell except the one who has the mark, either of the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for the number is that of a man, and his number is 666. During the tribulation, in order to buy or sell anything, you will either have to have his name or his number, 666, tattooed or marked on your right hand or forehead. Now, it is possible it is some microchip, I'll admit that, but there's going to be some way where it is marked on the right hand or forehead, either this man's name or his number. And this will be a time when he will control the world economy, and if you don't have this mark on you or his name on you, you will not be able to buy or sell anything. Now, the number 666 is found in four passages of the Bible. In 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse 14, we read, now the weight of gold which came into Solomon in 1 year was 666 talents of gold. In 2 Chronicles 9:13, we read, now the weight of gold which came to Solomon in 1 year was 666 talents of gold. In Ezra chapter 2 and verse 13, we read, the sons of Adonikam were 666. And in Revelation 13:18, we read, and his number is 666. Now we get a big tip and big clue as to what this means in Revelation 13:18, because it specifically says that it is that of a man. The number is the number of a man. And God was the one who created man on the sixth day of creation. So the number 666 means the Antichrist is just a man. He's not God. The number 6 is not the divine number 7. And 3 sixes probably refer to that satanic trio that's at work during the tribulation period, Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. Obviously, 666 is short of 777, which would tell us that no matter what Satan and his forces do, they're always under the authority of God. So every time the Antichrist looks at this number, 666, it's actually guaranteeing him, you are going to be judged by God because you're not God. And you're going to come to your demise. And he will cast your body and soul and spirit into hell when Jesus Christ returns. Now we have just taken you through 17 characteristics that the Bible do clearly spell out concerning the Antichrist. What I would say to you is, you do not want to be here when the Antichrist exists. And the way that you guarantee yourself you will not be here is by believing in Jesus Christ. The Antichrist is going to end up in hell. You don't want to end up there. You don't want to end up burning in the everlasting lake of fire. The greatest satanic lie of all that has ever existed is the lie that somehow you can save yourself and be good enough for God so God will just let you come live with him in heaven. The truth of the matter is we are all sinners. We have all fallen far short of the glory of God. None of us measures up to the righteousness of God. We don't even get close. So don't believe that lie. Don't believe that lie that you can save yourself or that your church can save you or your works can save you or your rituals can save you. Don't believe that lie. Believe the truth of God. When the Apostle Paul was asked, "What must I do to be saved?" His answer was simple. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. May we pray. Our Father, we thank you for the Scriptures. We thank you for what's revealed in the Scriptures. We know that all Scripture is profitable for us. We're thankful, Lord, that we as believers in Christ are not going to be here on earth when this diabolical madman runs the world. We do see the clouds forming of it, perhaps taking shape. As we wait for that blessed moment, Lord, I pray we would be people who would be faithful to you, stable people, people of sound mind, sound doctrine. I pray we would be people who carefully, accurately, systematically study the Scriptures. For anything that you're doing, Lord, with these studies, we want to thank you and praise you because it's your word and it's your work. In Jesus' name, amen.